You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good evening and welcome to the Fatback Four. This is Gav, and with me I have Shawnee, Keith and Emma. This show is brought to you by Bobby's Wish to Walk, and Bobby is €4,800 short of his target of €150,000. See, I done my walk tonight and I checked how short he is. So, before we go into any football and slaughtering Liverpool Football Club for the next 60 to 90 minutes, link is in the description if you would like to donate to Bobby. If not, take that link, send it around to friends, family, and become part of getting him over that target of 150k. Liverpool 3, Brighton 3 at Anfield yesterday, but it goes a lot deeper than that. It goes a lot deeper than that. The reaction online has... Yeah, it's been lively, let's just say. And you know what? We're going to talk about the game tonight. We're going to talk about what the problems are, who's responsible for those problems, how we could fix those problems, or do we just have to come to the terms with the fact that Liverpool, as a team, are really, really struggling, and it could be a longer-term situation than some people believe. Shawnee, how was your weekend?
It's grand, yeah.
Yeah,
wasn't bad. I told you at the start of the season I wasn't going to kind of football dictate me out, and I'll be honest with you, I can safely say it doesn't really, honestly. Obviously, I'm annoyed over it, but I don't really I don't subscribe to the bullshit anymore, really. I watched nearly every game after hours yesterday, which I wouldn't do when we don't win, you know what I mean? So, I watched games from other leagues. I watched the half-five game yesterday. I watched PSG. I watched the games today. So I don't really... I'm not as entranced as I have been. And to be honest with you, Liverpool have kind of helped that as well this year with the start of the season that we've had.
Did you do anything nice?
No, I didn't do anything at all, actually. I'm away next weekend, so I'm just pumping the brakes on it for a while, so taking it easy. Few games of pro clubs last night, bit of shouting at Gav, bit of laughing at Gav, bit of both.
It's genuinely the highlight of the week, and now I've started Ultimate Team, where I just continuously ask Shawnee questions, the most ridiculous stupid question, and Shawnee's on the other end of the headset, like, you know, he's just going, this fucking idiot again. But listen, he's being very patient, and I'd like to thank Shawnee publicly for that before we move on. My weekend wasn't helped with the game yesterday, I'm going to be honest, but I did make chocolate orange brownies today. Orange chocolate brownies, was that right? Yeah. And I made a nice Sunday dinner other than that. And then I bought some Guinness because that's where it's got to at this stage. Keith, you're coming down with something, are you poorly?
I am a bit. Just busy. I think I'm stressed out. And as Shani touched on, Liverpool don't help. You know what I mean? They don't fucking help you. I was out, yes, I was actually doing a football coaching course and I missed the start of the game and we had our group and Shani, I asked, how's the game going? Shani was like, this is a load of bollocks. And he said it was muck. I got in just as Bobby scored the fourth and I'm like, it doesn't look that bad. I watched it back. Dreadful. Shani said he doesn't get as invested anymore with football. I done that 12 years ago, 10 years ago, under the Hodgson things. Football used to lead and ruin your weekend. And I learned to not let it, do you know what I mean? And it's hard, like, I was like, this, you know, when a shitty start like that ruin your whole weekend. But it's starting to try me patience a bit now, do you know what I mean? It's getting back to the... I think we've been spoiled. Do you know what I mean? I think we've been spoiled. And this shite now is starting to annoy us. But, busy weekend.
What Kieran Doyle said there, I've put, like, nails it for me. Like, that, and that's sort of what it is. And to be honest with you, I think it's something you'll touch on in the show. I think some of the players... last year just took it out of me in terms of football.
Yeah.
Obviously, we won a couple of trophies or whatever, but just kind of felt a little bit flat after. And I wanted a break for football. Now, I remember we talked about wanting a break for football, and it's back. And I can't wait for the World Cup, to be honest. I really fucking can't. And I never thought I'd be saying that. I genuinely can't wait for the World Cup.
Yeah. Nay has made a comment here, and I don't think it's going to happen for you, bro. He says, or sister, I'm not too sure if that's a man or woman. He says, Shani, tell me everything will be okay. Strap yourselves in. It's not going to be okay if you want Shani to do that for you. Emma, you were smashing the fucking tops of bottles off your desk and everything before.
I forgot my bottle opener, so I just said I'd smash it off my desk. Right. Yeah.
Was that frustrating yesterday, or how was your weekend?
I'm the exact opposite to Shani, and I've tried several times, like Keith has, to maybe emotionally check out from football, but I'm a bit of a fucking weirdo. I refuse to drink out of my Liverpool cups and everything when they lose. I'm not talking to you. I'm not even drinking out of your fucking cup. But look, it's I'm not nice to be around after a bad result. And I got up this morning and I thought we had a match this morning and I thought we'd get a good result today and we got fucking handed our arse 5-0. So
yeah,
that didn't make things any better. So
cracking weekend, by the sound of it.
Few drinks and we got the NFL taken off us. So I don't know if this can get any fucking worse.
Yeah, our planned watch along for the NFL won't be happening tonight because of issues, but we'll sort that out. Look,
Jesus, if Emma has a cat, someone go in and rescue that cat.
But lads, look,
my dog is called Bobby, so he's safe.
All right, oh, that's fair. But look, usually we go in depth on every single incident in this game yesterday, but in fairness, the lads, Kevin, Chris, who do the post-match shows, had to come on and do that yesterday in a 3-3 draw. They've done a brilliant job of it. There was some people in the chat that overstepped the mark, and I think that's fair to say. But Kev and Chris took it well, gave their opinion, done a good show, and we move on. And I want to thank them for that because some of it was bang out of order. And if you think that this is the channel where you come on and do that sort of thing, it's not. It simply isn't, and it never will be. But we have to talk about the game, and I'm going to tell people straight off the bat, we're going to talk about this game, we're going to talk about incidents in the game, overall, how Liverpool performed, players, and then we're going to look at the wider scale of what's going on with this person or that person or the team as a whole, and what the fixes could be, alright? Now, that might lead to being heated, but rest assured, the four of us will argue over this, and afterwards, we forget about it. That's the way we are, we're mates talking about football. But Shani, I'm going to come back to you because it's a 3-3 draw against Brighton. And I think Liverpool absolutely stole a point there yesterday. Absolutely stole a point there yesterday because I've been fucking waffling on for the last week on shows at 11 o'clock in the morning saying this is a good game for us. You know, we've had rests. The players that needed minutes in the international break because they're coming back got them. We have a big centre-half back in training. I was giving her all that, and I really believed it. The Liverpool, after that break, refresh or reset, and they came out, Shawnee, and they showed us again yesterday that this just looks like it's stuck in neutral, and there's no, it doesn't ever look like getting over.
Yeah, a proper tweet yesterday, I kind of had a look at it because I try to refrain from going over the top and being reactionary after games on Twitter and stuff like that. And I don't think I do be. I think I just kind of think, all right, what do I think in that sense? And then normally the next day it kind of clears up. And I had a look there today, I just flicked through because I've had kind of the same issue watching Liverpool every game this season, and even towards the back end of last season. I'm sitting there watching the game with Brother Alan yesterday thinking, was so easy to play against. Was so easy to play against. Teams are creating loads of chances against us. And it just seems to be a ding-dong all the time. A ding-dong all the time. And if we're not, like, we bat that Bournemouth, which is an anomaly at this stage, and we get battered by Napoli. But I'm looking at, like, I have a hair on my phone just, Fulham 2-0, Palace 1-0, Newcastle 2-1, Everton 0-0, Ajax 2-1. Like, we could have easily lost all of them games.
Mm.
All of them.
Yeah. But, as a ding-dong,
and on the same hand, we could have easily won them all. And it's just, like, for me, it just, the first red flag was at the Fulham game, and they ran all over us. And you can say to yourself, all right, you come away from the first game of the season, it's a 12:30 opening game away to a newly promoted side at home. They might be energetic, but we're just flat as fuck. Same as Palace. Just the team looks spent, Gav. They look spent, in my opinion. And we kind of maybe, I think the couple of windows of not doing anything has finally caught up on us in a way where it's just, there's no legs in the middle. And from what I can see, that's the real cause of the problems. And it's affecting us at both ends of the pitch where the forwards now, they need to take all their chances, and defences just seems to be constantly under pressure. Like, they look like they were going to score every attack yesterday. And I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to single out individual players, because it's a terminal problem within the 11 now. I don't think you could, there's one player who was particularly worse than the rest. Like, all it is all the big hitters are letting us down. And I just think the lack of investment in key areas has really killed us now, because if you look now at the guts of that team, it's Alisson, Van Dijk, Matip, Trent, Robbo, Fabinho, Hendo, and one other playing the left side, which has always kind of chopped and changed. Whether it was Thiago, Keita, Chamberlain, you've Salah, we're trying to mismatch the things now. Bobby's back in the team. Bobby's playing well, which would suggest that what we suspect is fucking true, because Bobby, being one of the players who didn't play an awful lot of football last year, looks fresh, you know, and they just look spent, Gav. And I think both the midfield and the defence are overcompensating for a midfield that's just not able to do the job anymore. And what I mean by that is, like, I'm sure the lads would agree, and this isn't going to be a fucking non-dog show, and it's not going to be a show where I come on screaming the gaff down, because that's not what we do here. I'm not going to come here screaming the gaff down, pointing fingers. Like, you just need to look at.
I'm going. I thought I was going
to
have.
You need to look at. You need to look at what the team is built on, and for so many years, like, fans, and when I say fans, I mean fucking ages on Twitter, had issues with the fact that Liverpool's midfield was based on functionality. And it was. And you know what? That was our engine room. That was the fucking bedrock. The brilliant attack and the solid defence was built on, was that those functionalities in the midfield. And they just can't do it anymore. Mm. There's nothing left in the tank. And I'm not going to single out players, but because it's unfair. They've literally given everything. And I think they needed help from within the club or a coach to realise, say, do you know what? They fucking need reinforcements in there. And you have Hendo, who's just can't run anymore. Fabinho, who looks the exact same, looks like he's in treacle.
Fabinho looks like more fuels for me.
It's not even that. And Gab, it's bleeding throughout the team because, like, you can skip over all the goals. In every football, you can nearly attribute a goal to an unforced error someone from someone somewhere. Look at Fabinho. Look at Van Dijk for the poor goal yesterday. It's panic. We've never seen that by him. They just look fucked, Gav. We look spent. And I looked at fucking City today, and they had probably nearly a brand new back four in there, chopping and changing. They're bringing Mahrez off the bench. You look back to, did Fernandinho, who left, they had Rodri at the club 2 years before he went ready to just step in. We've gotten the succession planning right in other areas of the pitch. I think the midfield has failed. And I think what we're seeing now is it's actually the most important area to this football team. I think it's the most important area at top level football, to be honest with you. They say the game is won in both boxes, but what happens in the middle of the field determines how well they are able to operate defensively and offensively. And I think that's just what killed us. And you know what? I'm not going to sit here digging out Henderson to the little fucking, to the cunts in the bleachers who hate him and have hated him for a long time. Do you know what? You might finally be right. After 6 or 7 years of bashing him, you might finally be right around fella, because he looks bollocksed. Fabinho, very much the same. And Fabinho's normally slow to return. You know what? I'm ranting on here, but it's just...
You on, bro.
It's kind of what I look at. And I don't think it's hyperbole. And to be honest with you, Gab, I don't think a fucking 100 million Joe Bellingham would have made a difference anyway. And I'm being deadly serious. I think what would have happened had to happen was you win the Champions League. You don't just do Seth van der Berg and Harvey Elliott. You bring someone else in. The counter argument is we go and win the league the next year. Yeah, but top teams can operate like that. These players had that in their legs at that stage. They say the lifespan. I mean, you're a coach, all right? You watch all sports. You look even to like Vince Lombardi and Bill Belichick's philosophies. They know sport is cyclical, no more than football. Any top team has 3 or 4 years at the top without rejuvenating the spine. I don't think we've done enough to rejuvenate the spine. You can account the blame at so many different fucking people. The owners, certain players. Right now, I'm going to blame the only person who's capable of changing this. And it's Jurgen Klopp. I think at the moment, it comes down to Jurgen Klopp. I think after the Napoli game, he talks about Liverpool having to reinvent ourselves. We've played the same system every game since. And we've had the same results. So, look, I think this isn't just a flash in the pan. I don't think good players become shy players overnight, but I think good players can become tired players. Not overnight, but over time. And I think that's finally what we're seeing. And you know what? If you end up out of the Champions League this season, it'll be a fucking disaster. Because literally everything the club have worked so hard for in seasons gone by will be out the window. Because then again, you'll have to be throwing money at big players to come in and get them to come. So I just think people are putting it down to loyalty. I just think bad planning in the midfield has us where we are now. And people can talk about XG and this, that and the other and bouncing the ball going the other way. We just haven't been good enough. And the reasons being is, was spent. There's been underinvestment in a key area of the football team. And players who have been so fucking good for us time and time again, literally, are physically incapable of going to the well again. It's not an application thing. They're just physically unable.
Well, let's look at this midfield, right? Because when I look at this midfield, I agree with you. I think there's a couple of things. I think if you do things right in the summer, and we all thought we'd do one, if not two, in the summer in midfield, right? Simply because we thought that Oxlade-Chamberlain would leave. And not Keita at the time, but there's been more rumour around Keita recently. But if you bring two in, it allows you to adjust Henderson's role and it allowed you to adjust for what Milner's role would be, which should be extremely bit part, right? Now, the only excuse I would throw at the midfield thing is that Oxlade-Chamberlain gets himself a longish term injury that kind of snookers them a little bit. I'm absolutely fine with that, and I've said it on numerous occasions, right? Jones, injured, hasn't been seen. Elliot is young, that's fine. But my issue from watching over this is, and I'm absolutely fine with people saying, didn't do enough in the summer, because I thought they might have done too, and we've said it on loads of shows, we thought they'd do too, right? But I'm of the type that they didn't do it, you get on with it, right? Now, my issue in midfield over this season is, if legs are gone a little bit, if players are, if they're trying to tweak something, what they're doing in the system or whatever it might be, or the way we approach things, you must adjust to that. And we haven't adjusted. So if we're adjusting in, like, we seem to be not moving as much, but still trying to play the same game. Like, just drop back. Drop back 10 or 15 yards if you have the front man to hold people. And we don't seem to do that. We seem to half press and get played around, and then we're in serious fucking trouble. And yes, you can look at Trent, and I know you don't want to personally call out people, but you could genuinely look at Trent. Gomez this season, I don't think Matip was great yesterday. Van Dijk, Robertson, you know, you could all look at them in certain parts and say to yourselves, this is unworking. And the reason it might be working is, are we pressing from the front properly? Is midfield? And it just seems a mixture of things where, yes, they got snookered a bit on the Oxlade-Chamberlain thing. And people would say, oh, just write them off and buy another player. It's not how they work. Stop saying it, because it's not how they work. Whether you think it's right or whether you think it's wrong, it's not how they work, right? And my biggest thing is probably just going, lads, we're not pressing here. We're not closing off avenues. We're not squeezing people. So if you're not going to squeeze and you're going to let them play, you need to drop back and help yourself. And then look to play from there. Become a little bit counter-attacking for a while if you're trying to tweak things or whatever. But it just seems to be, and I've heard this word being used loads, arrogance. But it seems to be, I wouldn't say arrogance, but I think they feel like they expect themselves to go out and go, we're at 90% of what we usually do. But that'll be fine. We'll do what we want, and that'll be fine. And we go and play, and it's clearly not working. Keith, you know, there's loads of issues going through, and I think they knock onto each other. Like, I think forwards, you know, midfield knocks onto defence. I think the keeper's been fucking brilliant, and we're 4-0 down there yesterday, only for Alisson Becker. It's simple as that. But, like, where do you sit on the issues we have? What's the fix? Who's to blame? And you can say whatever you fucking like, because, like, who's going to stop us anyway, Keith? So say what you want.
Look, Shawnee sort of covered nearly everything there, what he said, and he's spot on. The midfield, our midfield was never going to be like Man City's midfield, where you've got Kevin De Bruyne, you've got Bernardo Silva, David Silva, all these type of players. It was a functional midfield. It made everything work, and it reminded me of Alex Ferguson's best ever team was the 07 to 09 Man United team with Ronaldo, Tevez, Berbatov, Rooney, with the back four with every fucking Vidic, the other lot, right? The other shower, Ferdinand and all that. And then midfield was made up of fucking Anderson and Fabio and, you know, Park Ji-sung and Darren Fletcher and all these absolute 7 out of 10s. And they were energetic and they allowed the team to play. They allowed everything else to function. We had that for so long until we didn't, right? And now we don't. And where we're looking at now is we're looking at a midfield that's, it's too slow. It's got, doesn't have enough energy. And the players in there are, you know, maybe they're at, some of them are at the end of the road. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, I disagree. I think we should probably just cut our losses on him and nearly row him off and brought in a replacement for him this summer. I just don't know how we're going to fix this, because what's starting to annoy me now is the Jude, I don't want Jude Bellingham now. I think it's too much money for one player that doesn't fix their problem.
Yeah, it feels a bit like Jude Bellingham, if you're flying, is a brilliant enforced. You're bringing on the squad, but at the moment now you're saying you probably need 2 or 3. You can't just go on one. But
if we don't buy Jude Bellingham now, it looks like a failure. Do you know what I mean? And we're nearly in a bleeding position now where it's Jude Bellingham or it's the, look, we know that the fans can be psychos, and the ones that are cheering for Jordan Henderson's demise will be the ones shouting if we don't get Jude Bellingham. But I'd rather see us invest in that midfield. Brighton, I've said it before, Brighton are one of the best teams in the Premier League. They're not going to win any titles or any trophies, but they play a great system. And their midfield players, Caicedo, McAllister, their quality. I'd rather see us bringing in players of that calibre than 100 million or 120 million on Jude Bellingham. I just think we need too much work on this now. We've gotten to a situation where we're a team that, as you said, was built on press and was built on functionality and everybody working hard. You know, it's constant, non-stop. And over the years, Klopp has constantly tweaked that. You know what I mean? It was heavy metal football. That's gegenpressing. It slowed down a bit. We got a bit more controlled. We were always playing good football. We were always evolving. And now it just looks like, where do we go? Because it's easy to blame the midfield. I thought Thiago was awful yesterday. Not just, you know, I won't lash Henderson and Fabinho, who were also dreadful, and say Thiago was good. He wasn't. And if Thiago can't do it, you're like, what's going on here? Do you know what I mean? Like, if he's not doing it, we pin too much on Thiago being a saviour for their midfield, and it's not going to happen. He's 31. He's a player that needs help, and we don't have that. We said this years ago on this show that we're a couple of windows behind. I think it's coming back on us now, because you don't need to sign an £80 million midfielder. We've never signed that type of player, but we've always prided ourselves and boasted somewhat on our recruitment being brilliant and being ahead of the game and being ahead of the curve. Well, this isn't. This isn't ahead of the game and ahead of the curve. We're playing the same shite system week in, week out. As Shawnee touched on, as you've touched on, teams are just going through us now. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. The Brighton manager, first game yesterday, had a sussed. Do you know what I mean? They don't need to reinvent the wheel to beat Liverpool now. And that's the worst part about it. We play Arsenal next. We play Man City after that. We play Rangers. Not really worried about Rangers, but could come back and haunt them. But, you know, Arsenal are a good team in form now. They're going to be looking at that. And Mikel Arteta has a plan already, right? This is what we're going to do. And I'll tell you, we might want to single out players, but I'm going to single out Trent here, because we've been hard on Trent before in the past. And while we've sang his praises for so many years, I think the young fella is just so fucking tired. Do you know what I mean? I think he's wrecked. He's emotionally, he's mentally tired. He's physically tired. He's not getting the protection he used to get at Liverpool when Henderson was Henderson and he covered all the work there. He doesn't get that anymore. But in a week where he's been publicly humiliated by Gareth fucking Southgate, I was absolutely adamant about yesterday that I'm going to see a performance from Trent. I'm going to see him stepping up and saying, right, fuck this, enough is enough. I'm going to show what I'm made of. And it didn't. Do you know what I mean? It didn't. And it's not his fault that, look, as I say, I'm tired. You're mentally and physically tired. But there's too much talk coming out of this Liverpool team and not enough fucking action. Do you know what I mean? Like, Mo Salah was doing it last season, talking about revenge and this, and we're going to, and never done it. It just looks like the edge has gone in these players. We brought in, so we're playing 4-3-3, the exact same system we played 5 years ago. We're playing the exact same fucking shit now. We spoke in the summer, change of formation, key. Definitely going to be a change of system here. It's going to be something a bit more different. It hasn't been. Nothing different. We brought in a centre forward who was different to every centre forward we've had under Klopp. Definitely a change in system here. We're definitely going to do something, nothing different. I don't know what we're going to do unless it's a case of all the big boys. Shawnee touched on it. You know, Van Dijk, Matip, Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago, Milner, Mo, all saying, this is not what we're about. This is not good enough. Robertson, Trent, we're not good enough. This isn't what we are. And just switch it on themselves. But it's not that easy. It's not easy to just switch on being absolute garbage and then all of a sudden being brilliant again. Sean, you said it. The 9-0 against Bournemouth, it's an anomaly now. It's an anomaly because we're not battering anyone.
Yeah,
we don't look like we have it in us. We have too many players that are top players, that are their main men, that are not at that level. That
do you know?
Saying
rubbish about fucking Linders writing a book and all, give her the rest, will you?
Stop it.
Nothing got to do. This is the fork in the road that has been coming because we haven't dealt with an issue that was forthcoming, I think. And I think it's as simple as that. You can go on about, like, we should have just fucking released Ox and we should have just sold Kate. We should have done it. Because you know why? Teams who want to win, owners who want to win would have done that. Win. Again, we talked about this. I got lashed in August by turning around going, I don't know whether Nunes is the type of player who's going to walk at Liverpool. I got lashed out of it. And I got lashed out for then asking, well, do FSG want to win? What's Klopp's objective? Is Klopp under pressure if he doesn't win the Premier League, finishing top four? No. You know what I mean? So I think that's where it comes into. That's the frustrating part for fans, because I don't think it never means as much that FSG are not bad owners. Do not get me wrong. I'm not going to start banging on them. You just need to realise, be a little bit rational and think their want to win, it's not like ours. You know, our desire to win far outweighs everything else. They look at football differently, and you can't turn around and go, well, literally, football is business these days. I think what's happened is we're just fucking in the middle of a shitstorm, and the problems that were forthcoming have literally all come to the fold. The few injuries we had at the start of the season haven't helped, but we have everyone back. And it's just seeped through the whole team now, like confidence. So, talking shit about Linders booking on, that's stupidity. Look, I'm not like that's no, stupid. No, that, like, if you think you're so easily led,
if you're talking about Linders book, right? You're actually demeaning every other fucking analyst in the Premier League and across Europe. If you think that Pep Linders can write a book and all them fellas are reading and going, oh, now I know what Liverpool are doing, will you fucking stop? All these people paid massive money as analysts, opposition analysts, wherever it might be, to walk out. The thing was, everyone knew what Liverpool done, but they couldn't stop them. And the reason they couldn't stop them was Liverpool done it so well, they were on top of it, they ate it alive, and then they spat it out. And that's what they've done for a couple of years. And people go, oh, there's only one Premier League. They're up against a fucking sovereign country, right? That's the leveller. Always is the leveller. They're up against a big bag of cheats, right? And trust me, all the people that told you, oh, Man City to win the league, make your bed. Because if Liverpool don't turn up, this league is not even a farmer's league. I don't even know what it is. But, Emma, Jer Cahill says, out on their legs, but in the Charity Shield, they look ready to go. And that's a really interesting point, because I get all this stuff about, you know, they're spent, they've done this, they've done that, but how much does it come down to application? Because for me, and honestly, Emma, I'm looking at this going, I think it's a mix of application, and I think it's a mix of not reacting to, A, if you're trying to tweak something and try something new, and you're just being caught in between a rock and a hard place. And sometimes I look at them players going, they just aren't doing what they used to do. And I think sometimes the easy thing is to go, they played a lot of football, they look tired. I'm not too sure.
Gav, that's not easy, Gav. No, you know, I completely disagree. Gav, this has been, Gav, you can't just turn around.
At some stage. Go on.
No, but Gav, you can't just turn around and say, oh, it's an easy thing to say. If these lads have fucking 4 or 5 years high intense football in their legs.
I understand that. I understand.
So that's the problem. It's not application.
No. What I'm saying is it's a mix of application and not adjusting yourselves to the data that you have and the evidence you have in front of you. That's what I'm saying. If I'm looking at that, Sean, I'm saying to myself, are they applying themselves as much as they can, if that's the answer? And if they are employing themselves as much as they can, how are we getting eaten alive here through midfield? We need to adjust ourselves. Emma, I could be mad. That's what I think, though, when I watch this team.
Well, just to pick up on what Bobby, they could be trying to apply themselves, but because they're absolutely bollocks.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is why it comes across as they don't. At the start, I was kind of thinking to myself at the start of the season, and just on Jer's team there, when we played the Charity Shield, I thought we're going to absolutely waltz this league. So I was confused then, like Johnny said about the Fulham game, that you kind of think it's maybe just a promotional bounce and should we be back? And then it kind of continues on to the next game and then the next game. And then I'm I'm thinking to myself, are they, Klopp has changed, even though we've played the same formation, he's changed something nearly every single year. But just this year just seems like it's a continuation of last season. And we've not really kind of changed anything. And that's to do with investment, it's to do with players coming in, et cetera, et cetera. But what's happening is there's no intensity. We seem lax. We seem like we've got all the time in the world on the ball. And we just don't. It's like other teams are imposing their game on us, whereas we used to impose our game on them. And it's kind of nearly like we're sitting there waiting for them to do it. I don't know what the problem is. I'm now leaning way more towards the fact that they are obviously bollocksed. In terms of Trent has had bad games in the past, in seasons gone by, but it was covered up by everybody else doing their bit. There's so many now not doing their bit that it's highlighting absolutely everything. And I'm not going to say that it's unfair, the stick that Trent is getting, because some of the clearances he tried to make yesterday, but I just think that it's kind of extenuated on him, because he was always a little bit susceptible at defence. But now that Matip isn't playing to his full potential, I know he's only back. Van Dijk looks like he's coming back from his ACL this year. Do you know what I mean? He's like, he's nervous. He's afraid to make a challenge. I know we've said on here before, it's like he's got this World Cup in the back of his head. I've missed the Euros. I don't want to miss this World Cup. Like his attempt at the clearance for the third goal yesterday was, I used to coach an under-9s team that I cleared that easier. We had six players in the box to their three. There's no way they should be scoring there. So in terms of what Shawnee is saying, everything that Keith said, I would fully agree with. Excellent players. They are all excellent players. They're not playing for Liverpool if they're not an excellent player. They don't become shit in the space of a season, but I do think they become tired. And I think we said at the start of the season when we were talking about transfers and people were talking about Bellingham and an attacking midfielder, and I think it was me and Keith were saying we'd be looking more at the defensive side of midfield, that Fabinho has no competition. He doesn't have an understudy. All these other great teams that Shawnee and Keith mentioned as well, they all seem to have understudies. Shawnee spoke about Rodri at Man City. Wasn't getting a starting position with Fernandinho in there, but was kind of plying his trade, was learning the ropes, and then was able to eventually take over from him. Who takes over from Fabinho? Who takes over from Hendo? We don't have this conveyor belt. And that's, I know we've, two people have already said that we're probably two windows behind, but that's where you bring these players in. And they sit there, they learn the ropes, like the Unfulls used to do years ago, they clean the professionals' boots, they learn from them, and then they're there to take over from them. But we have nobody that's there to take. We've only brought in Calvin Ramsey this summer to try and compete with Trent. And he's already injured, okay, growing pains or whatever, and hopefully he's back now. But there's nobody in that midfield. That midfield three, the worrying thing is that midfield three yesterday is probably our best midfield three.
Well, and can I just stop you there? Because there was a comment made yesterday where I think it was Chris or Kev said, probably our best midfield. He mentioned probably our best midfield three, and we had comments in the afterwards saying, are you ridiculous? You know, Henderson this, Henderson that. And I was kind of, I kind of looked at him and went, well, who else are you putting in there? Because Arthur isn't fit, right? Jones isn't fit. Milner's 37. Who else? Kate is not fit. And the only other option is Elliot. And Elliot's been, when Elliot plays, he's been told he's the problem. So, you know, it leads to a bit of a mad kind of reaction to things. And look, I think we're all in agreement here that there's issues. There's issues in the way we're pressing. There's issues in the way we're playing. Like somebody said there earlier, a lot of the stuff is off the ball. On the ball, we're creating chances. We're not too bad. You know, now I'm not saying we're at our electric best, but we're still creating chances. We're still scoring goals. But off the ball, we just seem to either, we're not applying ourselves, we're trying to do something different, and we're not willing to adjust to ourselves to trying something different. And players are out of form, and that's allowed. There's a load of things going on, plus the fact that when you look at the squad, you think to yourself, too many injuries. Did we bring enough in? And that's up for argument. I think we should have done one more in the summer. But I can kind of see, and only based on the way these owners work, I can kind of see where we snookered ourselves a little bit, especially with Ox and then further on with, well, Naby is kind of, you know, it's a bit of a sideshow at this stage. I want to get into what the fixes might be, but before I do, I have to read out the ads, because the ads help us turn the lights on and all that sort of stuff. And ahead of turning on the lights, Sean, he said, look, read the fucking ads with it and stop messing. Isn't that right, Sean? Correct.
Well, no, my city here, we have to pay the bills.
Right, so now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Talk about time. It can be tough to train your brain to stay in a problem-solving mode when faced with a challenge in life. But when you learn how to find your own solutions, there's no better feeling. A therapist can help you become a better problem solver, making it easier to accomplish your goals, no matter how big or small. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, accessible, affordable, and entirely online. Get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey, and switch therapists at any time if you feel the need to do so. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can be there for you. Visit betterhelp.com/daytrippers today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/daytrippers. And also therapy, look, it can be for mental health, it can be different things. And you know, people think when we read out this ad, it's just like, oh, I couldn't do a fucking Rubik's Cube, well, I get a therapist. It's not like that. It's, you know, you could have problems in any sort of way, and talking to someone, a therapist, is a good thing if you need it. Paramount Plus is showing all the Champions League games this season. All the group games, last 16, quarterfinal, semi-final, final, extra time, penalties, all that sort of messing is on Paramount Plus. So if you subscribe to Paramount Plus, you will get all them streamed across the whole season. It's about $10 a month, I think, and it's really good. And IP Vanish, Keith's favourite, is a VPN service that protects your data, your location, your passwords, all that sort of stuff. Very easy to use, one click of a button, and protect yourself from all those fuckers out there that are trying to rob your identity and stuff like that. Use it on your phone, your tablet, your laptop, your PC, your Fire Stick, if you're streaming media, all that sort of thing. Rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. And right now you can get it for about 34 in my head, but it's about $38. So if you want to go and you need a VPN, use IP Vanish. Go to ipvanish.com/daytrippers and you can get that sorted.
Well done, Gav. That was very good.
Thanks a million, Keith. Nobody's ever thanked me for doing that.
It has to be done, you know. It's a dirty job. Someone has to do it, and you know, you get no thanks for it. The chat hate it, the guests hate it, everybody hates it, but it has to be done well. Paramount still show 2.5 men because I'd rather be watching that than Liverpool in the Champions League this season.
Well, look, we've been given out to by numerous people saying, why isn't the super chats on? Why isn't this on? We've turned it all back on. So if you want the super chat, or there's a super thanks there, I don't know what happens there. If you type in thanks, does it come up with a big massive thing on the screen? I don't know, but they're all back on. If you want to use them or you want to avail of those services, you absolutely can. And look, we're trying to bring you as many shows as we possibly can. We're trying to bring you somewhere between 40 and 50 shows a month. So if the super chat's on, if you want to use it, if you don't, but look, hit the like button, because somebody absolutely ate me alive in person the other day. I went, ask for fucking likes, it's not on. So hit the like button if you're watching. Subscribe if you want to as well, because the word out of this person's mouth was, not enough people are fucking watching, and it's because of you, because you're not asking for people to watch. So me, Shawnee, Keith and Emma and everyone else are asking you to hit the like button and subscribe as well for measured, nice chats about Liverpool where you can actually get a discussion and it's not just fucking making your ears bleed. Solutions. Shawnee, you've been the most fervent on this tonight, in fairness to you. But look, we can say the team is spent, we can look at this, but we still have football to play, Sean. We still have competitions to play in. What would you do? Forget what anyone else would do. What would you do, Sean, to fix this? What would you, or even what would you like to see Liverpool try to do?
See, I don't know, Gab, because it's like, people are saying it's a bad run of form, but I just think that there's lads in the team that just aren't physically capable anymore of doing what we need to do in this system. So I think the first thing you'd have to look at is changing the system. Probably start protecting players a little bit more. Trent needs protecting. And if protecting is taken out of the team and giving Ramsey games, do so. Like, he needs to be protected at the end of the day. He's still, like, he's not that old, Trent. You know what I mean? And I'll say one thing about him. Like, he normally responds to adversity. He normally comes, like, that time around the Euros when he looked like he's going to be getting left out of the squad, he was just fucking, he started tearing it up. And I expected the same, really. But he's never looked lower of confidence for me. I think it's going to come down to Klopp. And it's no use saying it on Wednesday because we should fucking beat Rangers with any amount, with any setup. Honestly, we should. I'd like, when's the game next Sunday?
We play Rangers Tuesday, Arsenal Sunday, Rangers Wednesday.
City. Sunday, what time?
I think we're 4 o'clock on Sunday against Arsenal.
I'd love to go on to my phone at 3.
The lads will check.
I'd love to go on to my phone at 3 o'clock next Sunday and go, oh,
John Barnes is playing.
No, that's different.
He's playing.
Yeah. You've said this before. Yeah, you've said this before.
That's different. What are we playing? What are we doing here? That's what I want to see. Something different. This 4-3-3 what we're playing now doesn't excite me. I don't want to watch team run all over us for 90 minutes and for us to fucking play Keystone Cops to the back and try to take our chances up the other end. No thanks. I don't want rock and roll fucking football. This shit the club comes out about. Klopp never actually said that, you know that? Sorry about that. But I don't want that rock and roll football. I want control. Do you know what annoyed me most yesterday watching that game? 3-2, I still didn't feel like we were going to win.
No, either did I.
Do you know when the last time I said I thought that was? Rodgers.
Or the fourth season of Klopp where it was mental.
Even then, you were enjoying that then because this was new. It was different. See,
yeah,
that's what I mean.
Crack. Yeah, it was a bit of crack.
I want different. I want to look at the team and go, what's going on here? What sort of setup are we playing here? Get them fucking guessing again. We're too easy to play against. Yeah. We don't even put challenges in. We're not dirty enough. Teams just run off us. They bully us. Trossard laughing at us yesterday. One thing Klopp has said and has always said is, I want us to be the most difficult team in the world to play against. Yes. That couldn't be further from the fucking truth at the moment. We get run all over. We get bullied. And we give up chances to Hoyer. Thank God we fucking Alisson in net. Because otherwise you would have been fucked. Honestly.
We are 4-0 down. It's simple as
honestly,
that.
Honestly, I want to look at the game next Sunday, 3 o'clock, check the live score. What shape are we playing here? Something different. Not the same shite. Because we're going to get the same results. And I tell you what, I swear on me life, if we show up next week with the same setup, we will get fucking mauled by Arsenal. Because they're like Jack Russells with two Mickeys at the moment. They'll run all over us. Martinelli and the other fella out wide, Saka, will absolutely tear us to shreds. We need to do something different. And I'm not talking about this fucking drastic thing. Drastic. It doesn't even have to be a personnel thing. Just, what are we doing here? This is a different setup. Klopp talked about reinventing ourselves. Let's fucking see it then.
Yeah.
He talked about this after Napoli, which is, I didn't even watch the game. I haven't even seen the highlights of that game. I don't even know what their goals are like. I didn't see a second of that game. And I people saying, it's the worst we've ever played under Klopp. And you hear that, you know, you see the reaction and the knee jerk. But then for Klopp to actually reference it when he comes back from the international break, would suggest it was fucking bad. But we got with the same. Do you know what? Any decent side we've played this year have fucking battered us. And if we go in to the next two league games with the same thing. And do you know what? Another thing I hate is the word crisis in football, because crisis is a word that should be implicated to real life matters. Like, I mean, a fucking war in the Middle East or a housing crisis. Crisis is done what happened in football teams. It's just, your team are a bit shite, mate. It's not a crisis. You know what I mean? It's this buzzword that's thrown up by the media. There's no such thing as crisis in football. Football's not important enough to be in a crisis talk. We just need to do fucking something different. Yeah. Honest to God. I don't have the answers as if to say, what do we do? Because you know what? We can turn around and buy 2 or 3 midfielders now because we missed that opportunity. We haven't done that.
Yeah.
So the only thing we need to do is look inside, look within for solutions, and that's going to come down to Klopp. That's going to be where Klopp burns his bread.
It's going to be an awful lot of very honest conversations, I think, Shawnee.
I get what you're saying, but every one of those players is aware of what's going on. Van Dijk came out saying,
we need to do better.
Yeah, but he came out after the Netherlands, the 2 games he had with the Netherlands, going, I'm putting my hand up. I'm way off where I should be. I'm not going to speak about anyone else. I'm going to talk about myself. I haven't been at the level, you know what I mean, that I expected myself. So they're fully aware of what's going on. I don't think there's some sort of arrogance with they just think they're going to show up. They know now they're in battles. Teams are coming and having a go. Teams aren't rolling over for us anymore. So, yeah. Look, listen. That's all. I just want to... If I can guess what Liverpool are going to do, you can be fucking sure, like you said, Gav, that these analysts and managers who are on millions, who have big salaries, know exactly what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Let's see something.
They're definitely not getting
what did Klopp say after yesterday? This is a new Brian manager. We had no idea how he was going to set up, and they surprised us. Let's see something different.
Yeah.
Go for it. Let's see something different.
Jake with a super chat says, Darwin Sub was a piss take 2 minutes from the end. Why? I think because they equalised. He brought him on because he did speak beforehand. And I seen somebody else saying earlier, and I forgot to tag it, but he said, like, why are the medical team picking our team now? They're not picking our team, but that's what they're there for. You know, if our medical team are out there and there's a fellow walking around with his leg hanging off and the medical team are going, yeah, play him if you want. They're not a medical fucking team. You know, it's just ridiculous. But I think he just threw him on because we needed a goal. I don't think he really wanted to play him yesterday. And I've seen people going, oh, not trusting an £80 million striker. Well, he's not an £80 million striker for a start, but it's not a case of that. He's come back. They've looked at him and went, he's played, I think he played twice for Uruguay. He did, didn't he? Iran and somebody else, I think he played against. And maybe he was a bit short, and maybe he had a niggle, and he went, put him on the bench, you might get 20 minutes out when you need him. And he didn't think he needed him until that came up. But you see, this is the world we live in. You know, he doesn't start Darwin Núñez, I think, to try to protect him on an injury, maybe a niggle or whatever it might be. And people go, oh, he's not trusting the striker. But you fucking come on. If he didn't trust me, he wouldn't sign him. You know what I mean? Like it gets a bit ridiculous at times. Emma, you know, Shawnee speaks there about doing something different. But, you know, and listen, one of the happiest I've been in the last fucking couple of years because of COVID and everything was when Klopp signed the new deal. And I would not entertain anyone questioning whether Jurgen Klopp should be at the club or not. You know, always a time from the go, 7 years now. Do you think just history repeats itself every fucking 7 years? It's madness. But looking at it though, it's okay to question Klopp. And do you think he might have to look at it and say, you know what, if I'm trying to implement something here and it's not working, we might need to go back to what we were doing. If we don't have the legs, we need to adjust. We need to make them fullbacks come back 15 yards just for a couple of games to settle us. The decisions he makes is key, isn't it, over the next month or so, and particularly over the next 2 weeks, because 2 massive Premier League games and 2 games that will shape our future in the Champions League going forward as well.
Yeah, big time. It's like Sean said, after the Napoli
big echo
game,
coming from someone as well, just if anyone's hearing it come through a speaker, let me know. Go on.
He said after the Napoli game that we need to reinvent ourselves, and Sean is right. We've played exactly the same every single game since then. We've not actually tried to reinvent ourselves. So we're stuck with the players that we have. So the only thing that you can possibly do is change formation. But I don't know what formation you go to. Do you remember Matt made a massive shout at the start of the season thinking that we might go 3 at the back? But you have to try something. I'm not suggesting, I saw Keith there shaking his head, I'm not suggesting 3 at the back. But you're right, Gav, maybe it's a case that you need to say, listen, the fullbacks stay home. Do you go with the 4-2-3-1 like we are talking? And do you go 4-4-2? You need to do something. You need to, like I said, we got to a stage there not so long ago where we could pick the team week in, week out. And then we got to a place where we couldn't pick the team week in, week out. Every single team knows we're going to come out and we're going to play 4-3-3. Every single one of them. So it's they can prepare all week. Whereas, and like Shawnee said, Klopp didn't know what to expect from Brighton's new manager. That's what we need to have. We need to be able to play several different formations and have that kind of up your sleeve. What are they going to show up with this week? But he hasn't really got much time to change it with Rangers, just the Rangers game on Tuesday. But I think, I said it yesterday, if Konate is anyway match fit, I'd maybe take Van Dijk out of the team for that game. Depending on, I don't know whether Ramsey's going to be back. I'd maybe stick Gomez at right back. We should be able to stick the 23s out, or 21s, or whatever they're called now, and beat Rangers. But he needs to use, I think, the Rangers game to try something different. Because you can't, like Shawnee says, you can't rock up against Arsenal and play the way we've been playing, because they'll absolutely smash us. But yeah, the decisions he makes over the next while, everybody looked at it. I don't like saying it, and I very rarely will say it, but I think the league is gone. And it's unusual for me to say that. It is a scrap for top four, but you need to be very, very careful that it doesn't become a scrap for top six. We're already about 4 or 5 points behind the top four. We don't need to be going any further behind them. So I think not necessarily a change of personnel, but maybe a change of shape. I think Nunes, if fit, I think he needs a run of 4 or 5 games.
I think he 100% starts on Tuesday.
Yeah. But I think he needs a run of games. He doesn't need to start a game and then get 20 minutes the next game. He just needs to throw him in and let him get used. Like everybody's saying, he's getting used to the system and he's getting used to how we play. Well, the best way to do that is to fucking play him. Like, do you know what I mean? So throw him in regardless of how he does, and basically throwing him in the deep end and seeing if he can sink or swim. And hopefully, I know that Klopp doesn't like throwing him in. He likes to gradually introduce them, but that's great when you're doing well. But I think throw him in and he starts regardless for the next 4 or 5 games.
Keith, when we look at it, you see, I'm a bit wary of taking Trent out of the team, and I'll tell you why. If you leave him in there, you're running the risk of just fucking killing him. But if you take him out, you're running the risk of fueling a narrative, right? And I don't know what damage that does to the person himself, right? In midfield, we clearly aren't pressing like we used to. So we're going to in my opinion, and we're going to have to adjust to that, and we're going to have to think of something different. I'd still leave Thiago and I'd leave Fabinho in there, but I would put somebody narrower in midfield, the likes of an Elliot or a Carvalho, and say, you know what, I'm sticking you in there in front of them too, right? And our wingers are going to have to do a bit more, but I'm going to make sure we've shitloads of pace up front. Shitloads of it. Nunes, Diaz, Salah, right? I'm going to go them three up front, or I'm going to put Jota in front of the midfield too. I'm going to do something fucking mad, like Shawnee said. And if he goes something, what I'm trying to get around to here is, Keith, if he goes something radical, right, and it doesn't work, then he's really fucking pushed himself into a corner. Do you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, and the reason I don't want to see Liverpool going to three at the back, and the reason I don't want to see Liverpool going to three at the back is it's not the way Klopp has ever played. It's not a system that he likes, and I think he's come out and said he dislikes three at the back. So if Klopp does that now, that to me is Brendan Rodgers when he tried it and
remember he done seven formations in the FA Cup semi-final.
Yeah. And then just, you know, it's guessing and it's stumbling. I agree we need to do something different, but three at the back isn't the answer for me. But what I think Trent should come out of the team, because I think he's in a position now where he's getting targeted, and the more he's getting targeted, like, he's the weakest link in their team. And that's a ridiculous thing to say. You know, we all know it. Martinelli is going to bleed, skin him now on next weekend unless Trent ups his game. So I would take him out. Nothing really to do with, like, well, in fairness, fuck him. If he needs to come out, he needs to come out. But I just think if we went to, I'd put Gomez in at right back. That's what I do. I'd put Gomez in at right back. I'd go Matip. I'd go Van Dijk. I'd go Tsimikas. We've no choice on Tsimikas. I'd do him there as well. I think it has to be like a 4-2-3-1. And the reason I think it has to be that is just because of the players we have there. Sean, you said this weeks ago, and I didn't agree with him at the time, but I agree with him now. Don't tell him. I think he's on mute there. So
he can't. No, we can't hear you.
Harvey Elliott. Right? I think Harvey Elliott's a great player, right? And I think he's genuinely a cracking talent, but he cannot play the right side of that three-man midfield the way we want it, because he's an attacking player, he's an attacking-minded player, he can carry the ball, he can pass the ball, he's excellent at the attacking facets of the game, but not at the defensive side of it. And now isn't the time for him to be learning that. Do you know what I mean? It's not the time for a 19-year-old to be learning how to defend. So he cannot play for me on the right side of that. We don't have
I wouldn't be proposing starting him on a right.
Oh, no, I know that. I know you're saying
I just drop Salah and Diaz back a little bit and I play another fella centrally. I agree
with you on that. And that's what I'm saying. We don't have the players to press anymore. Thiago and Fabinho would be the two I'd go with in the two. And I'd put them so that they're, you know, naturally, if you've a double pivot rather than a single pivot, one player is going to be over to the left and one player is going to be over to the right. So naturally, there should be someone there that can help out. But that's the way I'd play it. And I would go with the pace up front. I think Darwin Nunez, like, we're all saying he needs a chance. He didn't help himself by getting sent off, you know what I mean? So he's not really done himself any favour since he's come in. So whether he's the answer or not, I don't know. But I would say now, look, you're the target man of this team. Not target man, you're the focal point, sorry, of the attack now of this team. We've changed our method now to bring in a player like yourself. This is it. We need someone to step up. I'd play him, I'd play Diaz, I'd play Salah, and I would play someone else, whether it be a Carvalho, or a Elliot, or a fucking Jota, or Bobby in there behind it, because we need to do something that we're not just letting teams run through us. And whether that's, you know, whether 4-2-3-1 allows that, we're just putting a lot of attackers in and leaving two lads in the midfield that can't run. Maybe that's not the answer, but at the moment we just don't have the personnel. I don't think we have the personnel to stop teams running through us. We don't have players that can stop it at the moment, and that's the worry I have. There's no players there in that squad that I see.
So what's the solution to that, Keith?
Well, I'll tell you what the solution isn't, Gav. It's not giving
you drop off and you condense space. That's what I think you do.
Yeah, you can drop off. You can give Seed a bit of territory,
but you have electric pace up front that can hurt.
But if you have, let's say, you know, if Trent plays right back, Trent's quick. Do you know what I mean? So if he's starting 10 yards forward or back and he can still run on, Tsimikas is still quick, he can run on. Gomez, if he plays right back, is quick, he can still run on. You don't have to be the high line. The high line isn't working. Do you know what I mean? The high line only works when everybody's on the same page and everybody's on blading form. If one player was, the only time we'd ever get caught with that high line was if one person switched off for a second and a team was clever enough to get in behind it. Now, there's too many of them that are switched off. There's not enough of them that are on. Like Virgil van Dijk, fair play, he came out and he said, I'll put my hands up, I haven't been great. I think he is looking at that World Cup and it shouldn't be an issue, but I think it is in the back of his head. He doesn't want to miss that. He's not pushing himself. Van Dijk is, I think, was it Emmett that said it? He's playing now like he's only coming back from his ACL. Now, I know when you come back from an injury, you can go on adrenaline, but last season he looked like this isn't going to affect him. This year, it looks like he's not committing and he's not that he was ever a diving in type of centre back, sliding tackles and all that, but he's standing off an awful lot more. And I don't know what the story is. We see him yesterday snatching out of leg crossways. You never see Van Dijk snatching at anything. Do you know what I mean? But I just don't think we have the players. That's the worry I have, is we don't have the players to really stop teams from going through us in the midfield. So we need to be back further in our defence. We can't be too high. We can't give absolute green space behind our defence for wingers to play into, because every team has quick players up front that's going to absolutely play and exploit our high line and our lack of pace and our lack of pressing. If you're playing at any level, right, and a team stands off you, you can pass your way through them easy peasy. And we're standing off. Sean, he said it there. We're not dirty enough. We're not nasty enough. We never were, in fairness. But we need to be nasty. We need to let teams know that they're in a the game instead of just turning up, pass, 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 boom, 1-0 down. Like, 1-0 down all the time. And I don't know, like, we just don't look like we have the minerals to be coming back from that all the time.
Well, Mr. Sinclair with Superchat says he's a Shawnee fan. Klopp and the model.
I'm a Mr. Sinclair fan as well. Just don't tell my Trevor. If you're Trevor, you can fuck off. You're a Sinclair, you're all right.
But Klopp and the model needs reinventing. The reason we have bigger issue next season with four leaving, three on a free, but it looks like three for midfield. Jude is no guarantee of Real come with 300 grand a week. It's putting more pressure on the kids, right? And I'm going to get on to that in a minute. I'm going to ask Emma a question on that, right? So Emma, brace yourself.
Jamrock there with the nail on the head.
Yeah, he says here, Jamrock says, Hendo 3,900 minutes, Fab 3,700 minutes, Trent 4,200 minutes, Diaz, both teams, 4,000 minutes, Robbo, 4,000 minutes, VVD, 4,600, Ali, 4,900, Mane, 3,900, minimum club competition only. That's a lot of minutes last year with limited rest.
It's right? Too many minutes.
So,
and we look like we did a more strenuous preseason than most. Yeah, City played two games.
So mixing that both together, right? I am going to jump forward a couple of months, right? Because it always comes down to, this is always been the chat on YouTube, I suppose, the point, Twitter, wherever it might be. Emma, we've talked about solutions on the pitch, right? But are we at a stage when it comes to January where we don't give a fuck that it's January, right? All this is January. And I understand when it's in January, teams just want mad money for players because they have their own objectives to get to by the end of the season. But when you look at the amount of minutes those players have had, as Jamrock says, and when you look at the players that are potentially going to leave, most of them will, next summer on freeze and stuff like that, and we might struggle with the likes of a Bellingham if mad money occurs, which it looks like it will. How key is January? And the reason I ask that is because if the club are looking at this and identifying, and I'm sure they probably have identified, going, we've made a couple of decisions here, Emma, and they're not working. And what we thought might happen is not working. How important is it that they act in January? And disregard the fact that, you know, we don't care what other team prerogatives they have. We need to go out and get A, B, and C, and we need to do it now. And we can't wait around.
I think January is going to be massive.
Okay.
And my only fear is if we go back to, what was it, 2021, January was massive that year as well, and we got Kabak and Davies. So my fear is that they get two other kind of stop gaps. But I think we need to be planning with the remainder of the season, but also the future in mind as well. So they can't be just two camel kickers that we get into midfield or whatever in January. So they need to do maybe a Diaz, I would imagine, in terms of, okay, we plan for this guy in the summer. We realistically now need to bring this forward to January. We're still playing catch up. We said it earlier on in the show on those two windows, but they needed to pull out all of the stops and get you're not going to get Bellingham in January, but maybe, like Keith said earlier on, maybe Bellingham isn't the answer now. Maybe we need to look somewhere else. Maybe we need to split that 100 down the middle and get 250 million midfielders. But I definitely think January is massive. I think January is mad money. It's going to be even worse this year because of the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have players that are going to stand out in the World Cup, and they'll add 10 million, 10, 15, 20 million in some cases onto them. But I think, and Shawnee said it earlier on, that FSG, they don't necessarily seem to be, they're winning, and I think somebody said it in the chat, they're winning as top four, I think. Once we're in the top four, they're still winning in their eyes. But and their expectations aren't the same as ours. They probably never have. That doesn't make them bad owners. They're really, I think they're good owners. I think they need to just bend that model ever so slightly. The proof is in the pudding there. We've had the injuries to the defence in 2021. We didn't have anything in as backup. We let Lovren go and we didn't replace him. We needed a midfielder in the summer. We didn't get a midfielder in. And now look at the shit we're in. So there's two examples of you not opening up the purse or loosening the purse strings. Now you need to kind of act on it and open them up in January.
Keith, Shani, yeah. I have a question for you both. I have to go off and grab another can, so I'm going to leave.
I'm about to send a text to the young friend to tell him to bring me up more bottles.
but the question is, and Emma touched on something there, two windows behind, and that's been a feature amongst loads of people that talk about Liverpool. Keith, question to you, and the same to Shani when you're finished. If you do two really good ones in January and you do two really good ones in next summer, have you caught up? Or what will it take for us to catch up? Is it that bad that you're going to need? Because as Shamrock said, or as it might be Mr. Sinclair said, when you look at the players that are potentially going out next summer, just to make up the numbers, you need to do four between now and the next summer. And then you need to add to it on top of that. What number are we looking at, Keith? Then, Sean, walk away.
Yeah, look, the numbers are the numbers. I mean, FIFA 23 is out now, so if we're playing FIFA 23, fucking career mode, yeah, we'll do two in January and we'll do two in the summer and then we'll do two forwards and we'll do a defender and a centre-back. But in the real world, that ain't going to happen. I don't know where the solution is here, lads, because, you know, I've no doubt Liverpool, I think we're going to be in such a mess that they will act in January. But what they will act with, I don't know. There's names in the chat there, and two names that are in the chat there hopping out is Moise Caicedo and Enzo Fernandez. And they're two players I'd be all over. But they won't come cheap. Do you know what I mean? Caicedo's going to be, you're going to be looking at 50 million starting point on him. And Chelsea are going to be all over him like a bleeding bad smell because of Potter going there. And he is the type of player, he's only 20, he will be the engine, he can do the running, he can cover here, he can cover there, an ideal type of player. Enzo Fernandez has only gone to Benfica, he's turning up there already. These are brilliant players, but the reality is we will not touch, I don't think, two of them. I think we will do one. I think Arthur Melo has come in, and I don't know if Arthur Melo is the Kabak and Ben Davis signing that we got the last time we were in a crisis. Arthur Melo's fitness isn't there. His injury record isn't great, which, you know, doesn't really bode too well. But could Arthur Melo be the answer? Shani, do you think Arthur Melo's the answer long term? Or if he was to come in and be a £35 million player, would you look to keep him in the squad at that price?
If I had the medal, it was the answer. I'd fucking love to know what the question is, to be honest. It's not a slight on him either. Lads, I'm just give FSG need to break the mold, okay? I think now is the time where they should come under pressure. And if you're a fence sitter, get off the fucking fence. It's on them now. Yeah. It is on them now. There's no other way to put it.
How much training ground?
Sustainability. No, hold on. Training ground, sustainability, everything else. That's grand. To give Maud a big contract, that's grand. Now is the time. You have Klopp for what? Another 3 years? Show that you want him to win. Show us that it's important to you is to win. Of course, they've seen the fucking, the financial reward of winning and being winners again. They need now. It needs to be none of this fucking here, there, and anywhere. Do you know what will kill me now? Everyone's going around saying £150 million for Bellingham. It's never going to be that much. It's never going to be that much. It might not even be north of £100 million, all right? Now, you get Bellingham, I'm nearly sure he's going to be one of the best midfielders in the world for the next 10 years. I'm literally no doubt in my mind about it. The only thing is, if you tell me we're going to get Bellingham and Hinomi, it's not going to be enough because we're windows behind. We won't do two in January. We won't even do one in January because you'll hear the same shite. You will. The right players. I don't get. I always subscribe to that because you believed it. But how can I believe it now then when we're told?
I think with you, Shani,
when we talk about made an 80 million bid for fucking Valverde after the window.
No, I think Shani would you, and you've said this in private conversations, not, you may have said it on this show as well, but you were always a big fan of the way Liverpool looked at things, brought a player in, planned, you know, where, as someone said earlier, ahead of the curve, and we done stuff, and we done it in the right way where, you know, we're very well run and a very clear kind of objective as to what we're doing. And I think where you've lost that, and probably rightly so, is where you're looking at it now going, hold on, there's all these players injured over here. There's all these players that are too old over here. And where's that planning in between? And maybe it's a mix of planning, Shawnee, and maybe it's the risk. It's a mix of not just turning the screw a little bit. Just turn that screw a little bit when we need to.
How, Gav, if there was not, like, I'm not going off fucking hit pieces in The Athletic or Melissa Reddy or fucking Anfield Inside, who was putting up quotes from here, there, and there. I'm not pulling this out of me hole. Klopp literally turned around and goes, we went for a player and he went somewhere else. Case in point, Tchouaméni. Okay, fair enough. The other one we want is not available. The fucking dog in the street knows it's Bellingham. All right. So how can you go for willing to put forward 50 million for Tchouaméni to not bringing anyone in at all? It doesn't make sense. You can't tell me the right player is not available. There's fucking loads of players who would approve us. I get that we're going to get the right player. I get that. I 100% get that. That's fine. They don't know what Nunes, Darwin Nunes, an unknown quantity.
That's a huge gamble, Shawnee. They paid big money for him.
Paid big money as well by Diaz, Luis Diaz. So you can't just turn around and tell me, no, we've Tchouaméni and he went. So what are you going to do then? You're going to wait for someone. This Enzo Fernandez, you don't play, everyone's going on about. Haven't seen him.
Never heard.
He must be good. He must be good.
Who is he playing with?
He's playing by Benfica. He must be good.
Fucking Benfica.
It looks like he's going. It looks like he's going to the World Cup with Argentina. So, like, he must be good, all right? Your man Nunes, I watched him. He's not. He's no good. He's not good. He's not a good player.
And he won't come. He went to Wolves.
He's not a good player. I'm sorry. He's just not. I'm looking around. Caicedo, I remember keep banging on about him. Not last year, the year previous, we did these shows where we were talking about these players who may or may not come on. Keith mentioned him. He's fucking brilliant. Basuma is brilliant as well. Basuma is a brilliant player. Your man Nunes, I'm not seeing it with him. I'm not seeing it with him at all. The two games I've watched him, I watched him yesterday, he was shy, and I watched him against West Ham, on his debut. He wasn't great either.
Sports.
Look, they would have, if they wanted him, they would have got him. But the problem is, we need to look now. There's no more of this in the middle of the road show. There's no more of this in the middle of the road show. We're waiting for this, we're waiting for that. We can't afford to wait.
Yeah, but, and listen, that can be absolutely true. But I'll ask Emma, how much of this is on Klopp? Because at the end of the day, Klopp was asked outright during the summer about midfielders, and Charlie's right. He spoke about players he went for and he went somewhere else. That's Tchouaméni. He spoke about players that just aren't available at the moment. It's definitely Jude Bellingham, right? Because it's everywhere that Liverpool want Jude Bellingham, like everywhere. And I'm not even talking about one or two that you might trust in the media. It's fucking rampant, Emmett, right? But how much of it is on Klopp? Because Klopp then turns around and I don't want this to sound like I'm absolutely hammering on the fella, but he does turn around and says, I was wrong. We should have, I was wrong. We should have went for a midfielder. He brings in Arthur. I think that's a bit of a reaction. But how much was on Klopp to turn around and go and loosen his mind, I suppose, Emma, to the idea of we need this and we need that and we need to do it now?
So we've spoken on here, like Klopp tells lies. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to figure out when is he white lies, we'll call them. Mm-hmm. When is he telling white lies? And so didn't he say at the start that we don't need a midfielder? at the very start of the window. He was happy with his midfield. Yeah. Now, is that Klopp saying that he's happy with his midfield, or is that Klopp saying he's happy with the midfield because he knows that FSG aren't going to buy a midfielder? So it's very difficult to kind of put or proportion a certain amount of blame at Klopp when you don't know fully, and no one knows what kind of hand he's dealing with or what kind of hand he's being dealt. If it's a case that he's decided that he's not needed a midfielder and FSG were there happy enough to bankroll a bid, which apparently they were because we were going to go in for Tchouaméni at 50 million, well then a lot of the blame has to go with Klopp. If it's a case that they weren't willing, well then he's just kind of being a kind of a front for FSG in terms of covering up the fact that they're not willing to open up the wallet. So it's difficult to say what kind of blame. In terms of transfers. In terms of the team, you've seen people saying that Klopp is too loyal to certain players. But then we go back to what we were speaking about earlier on. Who does he put in instead of these players? He has to. He can only pick from what he has at the moment. So I'm not avoiding putting blame on Klopp. I thought the lineup yesterday was a little bit strange. But I'm not sure. So until we know what he's dealing with, it's very hard to try and put blame on him. Or it's very hard to put blame on FSG because we just don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Can I just ask people to stop doing two things? I'd never tell anyone how to support a football club because each of their own. Don't be buying into this Linders book shy. And the other one, don't
it's
be buying
really
into
you, hasn't it. The book.
No, but it's just, do you know what it is? It's someone who's not a Liverpool fan, who's on social media, who's posing as a Liverpool fan, who throws it out there and like shy on a wall, sometimes it sticks. And it's another one with the this is what happened at Dortmund. Dortmund were literally selling his best player to Bayern Munich every other year. There's zero correlation. Only for he was the manager. There's zero correlation between what happened at Dortmund to what's happening now at Liverpool to Pep Linders writing the book. It's just not.
He said the same about him on Monday Night Football when he explained how gegenpressing works and people are like,
what you giving up a game? You bleed mad or what?
It's literally like nobody's watching football. And unless you write a book, nobody knows what the fuck you're doing.
Do you know what it is? I think, and I'm not making excuses, I think it's got to do with who we're up against, all right? And who we're trying to chase, all right? And this is the way Americans walk. Not your man Bowley, because he seems like a fucking bit of a simpleton, to be honest with you. But you look at FSG, and the big thing in American business is risk and reward. What are we risking? What's our reward? All right? Again, it's going to come down to this. The Salah deal. We're going to give him a new deal. No. Right. He's going to go for free. We don't want that. Right, so we'll try sell him. No, nobody's going to buy him. Okay, you have to pay him. Because if you don't pay him and he goes for free next summer, you're going to need to pay 100 to 120 million to replace his output team on top. That's before you pay a wage. All right? So that's that out the window. Just give him the fucking contract. Right, what's going on, Jürgen? Need a midfielder. Yeah, do you think you get away with what you have? I reckon Klopp backs himself. Fucking 7 days a week, twice on Sunday. Every day, he turns around. Yeah. They turn around and go, we buy you a midfielder. What this is going to be. We could have bought two midfielders this year. Let's be honest with you. All right? If Haaland stays fit, fucking forget about it. And I'm not being defeated saying that. Forget about it. That fella is scoring goals at the rate I've never seen anyone doing it before.
Because he's not playing football.
The rest of his team, I'm not going to get railed off here. The rest of his team have been told not to have him unless he's in the box. They'll be looking at, they will look at that going, all right, I don't know, how much do you get from winning the Premier League for finishing second? What's the difference?
It all depends on how close you are to the league, because it more or less, the major money's in the TV money. You're actually
The position.
Yeah, the TV money's already guaranteed.
No.
It depends on who's guaranteed on the amount. If
you're showed more on TV, you get more. So if it's title, like City have won leagues and Liverpool have made more of them on TV Liverpool are
Right. So I'll put it this way. All right. So let's be honest. If you win the league, it doesn't really. We could be in a battle for top four. We'll be on every week.
Yeah.
We will. Yep. We'll be on every week. Yep. All right.
Either way, Liverpool will always be heavy.
All right. So hold on. What's the outlay? We put down this 80 million for what sort of return? We might win the league. There's no guarantees. It'll be we might win the league and then I'll just go with what you have. That's the way they look at it. It's risk reward. Man City don't have that problem because Pep turns around and goes, hey, I want Haaland. Don't worry. I'm going to set up a fucking post office box down the road from the job. We own this new paint factory down the road there. They're paying 11 million for it and they're going to sponsor us every year for 150 million and you can do whatever the fuck you want with that. And if that goes wrong, it doesn't matter because I can just set up a fucking car toy factory down the road. And if that doesn't work out, I'll set up a paint and fabricating factory and a fucking panel beating company down the road and we can slap that sleeve on your arm and we can put it on the side of the pitch and we can pay you infinite amount of money because money is not an object to us. This is what we're up against. They're not going to take the risk when this is what we're up against. We're up against one of the greatest managers of all time, running limited resources, and we're pushing them every year. And you can't guarantee anything. That's what I'm trying to say. They don't look at it like us. When we finished second last year in the league, they would have been like, do you know what? We'll have another go next year. When we lost the Champions League final, they would have been like, well, we're back in next year and we can have another go. Doesn't fucking matter. This is what we're up against, lads, and it's risk versus reward for them. They don't have the same. They don't look at football through the same prism as we do. Because for us, winning is everything. That joy of winning. We waited 30 years to win a league. Do you think FSG knew what that felt like? Did they fuck? They could turn around in interviews going, and we knew how. Like, no, you didn't. You didn't know. But that's not bad. That's not a slight on them. That's just not us. They're not football fans. They're businessmen at the end of the day. And what they're going to be looking at doing is now, Anfield Road is done. Super League's coming down the line. That might not happen. I'll tell you what, we'll lash another stand up there where the main stand is. We'll get it up to 70,000. And bang, we'll sell the club on for 3 or 4 billion. And our job is done. And a sports investment group has made an investment in a football club and built it over a decade and flipped it for mental cash. And that's exactly what they're looking at.
Yeah, and that's where football is going.
Reward every single time, and they'll feel it big time if you don't make Champions League.
Yeah, well, I've said it for a couple of years now. There's only one way Liverpool are going, and they're going to be owned by a country or a guy that's fucking mega rich, like the guy that owns Amazon. Like, there's no other way to go. You're literally buying a 9.5 out of 10 football club. And the only reason you're buying it is to say you own it. There's no where you go in and go, if I bring this in and I do this, I make money. You're not making money. You're simply not making money at Liverpool Football Club right now. You buy them.
Don't take money, Gav. And the thing is, people talk about dividends. Like, lads, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, I'm not calling you stupid, but you need to realise that FSG don't pay out dividends. We're not on the stock market.
No, we don't.
The shareholders would be paid within. That Red Board, that would all be done by them. That we don't have to pay. We're like United's dividends are their guarantors. That has to go out. That has to go out. They're on the stock market. People are invested. I could buy shares in United tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're not trading. We're not trading on the open market. The fucking dividends could be all sorted out between. Look, listen, these Red Board lads could have bought in and say, look, you're not getting dividends, but when we sell the club 4 or 5 years down the line for 3 billion, you're going to be in on it and you'll get whatever you get out. That's the way they look at it. They haven't taken a penny out of the club and they don't put their own money in, but not many owners do. The club is just operating that way because I'm sorry to tell you, and I might hurt you, and I might wind you up a little bit. The goal is not to win for them. The goal is not to be top dog. It's to be at the top table. And that's what they're trying to take out of the game. You need to look. They're trying to get rid of the jeopardy. Look at the fucking Super League. They're trying to get rid of that jeopardy. They don't want the maybes anymore. They want the definites. NFL, definite. Two divisions. Fucking split up into four each year. The same teams. Every year.
John O'Shea's there. They're going to be there.
NBA. Different conferences. The same teams. Every year. NHL. They're Americanizing the sport. They want to fucking bring in all-star games.
Yeah.
They don't. They want absolutes. They don't want definites anymore. And that's where they're going with these fucking Super Leagues and this shit. This is what it is. It's not a slight on FSG. This is football. This would be football. This would be the norm in football if you didn't have, like Gav said, oil states with fucking limited resources just throwing cash about.
Yeah, but, we're operating. But look, that comes down to the football associations and stuff. Sorry, I'm at the knocking Darius' super chat off. He says, I think it's more on Klopp because if he knows it's FSG and he's not saying it, then that's worse for him. And Jono says, Gav, Chelsea aren't owned by a country, it's another American.
Chelsea aren't a blade.
I can't work out what's going on at Chelsea. Now, the only thing I would say is that he's bought that club, he spent billions on it, including writing off $1.6 billion in debt. And I'm presuming what he's doing is they're spending all this money and they're going down the exact same route as Abramovich, where they're providing loans to the football club to buy all these things and the same way Abramovich did, and that's where they are. And listen, that might work for some people, but when you get up in the morning, you get out of bed and you think about FSG, what you have to think about is the model they work on. They are self-sufficient owners. Whether you like it or you don't like it. Some of the bits I like, some of the bits I don't like. But listen, I tell you. If Liverpool went 500 million in debt under FSG because you want them to spend all that money, and they were getting the results that Manchester United have been getting over the last 10 years, you'd be kicking and fucking screaming that these owners are putting this money in and we're getting nowhere, and we're 500 million in debt and we're getting nowhere. That's how it works, because that's the fucking era we live in, right? It's all about instantaneous reaction to fucking everything, right? Now, there's no way that Bowley is spending that amount of money at Chelsea and staying with an FFP. He's loaning that club money. There's no doubt about it, in my opinion. I can't see another way around it. He's basically went in and went, Abramovich was doing really good there, right? But they're losing $1.6 billion over the last 20 years. So what I'll do is, I'll just loan him the money the same way. He's basically took Abramovich's place for a price. And he's trying to get to the top. And if that's the way they want to go about it, fine. There's no point in talking to Man City and Newcastle, because that is beyond, it's just beyond even discussion at this stage, right?
Chelsea are fucked. And I'll tell you why. They got completely rid of the whole football of operation that was in place. Keith will vouch for this, because Keith looks at football at this level. The big part of Chelsea's model was being able to overturn youngsters to countries all over the world for big cash. They always made a lot of money without players going out from here and there. They did. Terry Glampty, Tomori. Look at the players they have scattered all over the place. Ake, everywhere.
You can't do it anymore
because the people who are recruiting those young players and that operation is completely gone. So they spent with the bedrock of that behind them. That's gone now. Bowley's just throwing cash. That's going to be a fucking basket case. That's another Barca waiting to happen. Completely.
Well, Jono...
Bowley hasn't got a fucking clue.
Jono says here, and I'm going to bring this comment up, and it's all over the fucking place on the screen, but fuck it, right? It's 11:30. Gav, self-sufficient is fine. LFC generates more than United. We can on our own, spend 200 million of our own money every summer. We can pay our own way, yet club don't release all the funds for us to spend. Jono. Go back and look at Liverpool's accounts for the last 5 years and tell me how much money they've made over the last 5 years. That's all I'm going to ask you to do, right? And I 100% believe that Liverpool went out tomorrow and rang the fucking Bank of Ireland and said, I need 200 million in credit. They would give it to them, right? Because they make a lot of money, right? Yeah. But that's not how they work. What they do is they take all this money in and they fucking spend it. They don't go above it. They don't really stay below it. And I'd say over the last 5 years, we've probably made 20 or 30 million quid in profit. Maybe. But the COVID has kind of fucked you over. I do remember us making about 50 million 1 year, but then there was debts that had to be paid off, historical debts and stuff like that. So, Jono, just please, please, Jono, because to be honest, no, hold on, sorry, Shani, 1 second, and I'll bring that comment up for you in a second. Jono is a brilliant contributor to this chat, right? And anyone that thinks different is wrong, right? He's a brilliant contributor to this chat because he comes in and he has his opinion and he sticks to it and he makes it really well. Jono, all I'm going to ask you to do is go and look at Liverpool's accounts from 2016 to 2021 and come back and talk to me, because I don't think Liverpool have made 200 million in profit in the last 5 years that we could sit there and go, we've 200 million here, sitting here, right? Because of what we spend. And remember, when clubs go out and spend $1 billion on a stadium, i.e. Spurs, they owe a fucking shitload back. And we've seen it with Arsenal when they built that in 2005 or wherever they built the Emirates. And it took them 10 years to get back to any sort of semblance of Arsenal, right? We, and people go, oh no, FSG are charging the club. FSG give the money into the club and spend the money with the club at a zero, no inflation rate. The only percentage that's payback is inflation, right? And that's just standard fucking stuff. And I completely get your frustrations where you're coming from, but you always have to tell yourself what is the procedure here, what is the model, and whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it, you must go with that, right? It's like fucking Dunstores give you a tenner off every 50 quid you spent, right? But you can't walk in and go, you're making loads of money, why can't you give me 20? It doesn't work like that. But I still think you're right in the sense that we could stretch ourselves a little bit more, but I don't know how much more based on the model. I could see the argument of FSG selling the club, but then it comes down to morals. And it's only going to come down to morals when Liverpool Football Club is sold. It's not going to come down to what money has he got, or what money has she got, or what money have they got. It's going to come down to your basic human rights, morals. That's all it's going to come down to.
Do you want to be a billionaire's plaything like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, or do you want to be owned by a sports-washing country like Man City, like Newcastle? And it really does come down to that. It's not the way I'd enjoy football, to be honest. And I know it's easy to say this now, but I think when that day does come, a bit of me will die with support of Liverpool.
It's coming. There's no doubt about it.
100%, because where else can it go? It can't go anywhere
else.
It can't go anywhere
else. Neil hit the nail on the head, Gav, with that comment, but
I apologise because I went on a bit of a rant there, and it's fucking 20 to 12 annoying, and I'm sorry. That's Shani in particular.
Neil hit the nail on the head. Neil completely nailed it. And look.
What's his name on screen? Is it Neil?
Neil.
It's just Neil. What Neil basically said. And do you know what? If you're holding this against FSG, you're a bigger fucking idiot, to be honest. FSG banked on financial fair play. Doing the job. He banked on the rules that were supposed to be in place being enforced. They weren't. They played fair in a world where the game ain't fair.
And that's why, Shani, I think it's coming, because the rules coming in 2025, earmarked 3 years before. No, stop. Earmarked 3 years beforehand, right?
Gav, has, the rules don't matter. Look what City are doing. You can't stop that.
If you hear me out, I'm going to agree with you. The rules that are being supposedly put in place in 2025, earmarked 3 years beforehand, has literally told these clubs, you fill your boots between now and 2025, and we can't touch it beyond then. And that's what it is. And yes, Neil is right. They did gamble on FFP, and they did gamble on other things. And no, it hasn't worked because of the influence on football finances from different people. It's as simple as that.
And that's why they were looking at the Super League.
They would have got away with the Super League if they'd approach it in a different way, in my opinion.
Because they don't want jeopardy, and if you can't get security from the government bodies, then you have to deal with yourself. And that's what happened with the Super League. The 12, however many clubs agreed to go out on their own, all said, fuck this. Who would have forced to pull out?
Of
City and Chelsea.
Yeah.
Do you want to know why? Because they were like, we don't need the fucking 400 million. The Zone and JP Morgan are going to give us, we don't give a shit about that. Football is dying fast, and that's the way it is. UEFA fucked up initially. They had a chance to fuck, to lay down the gauntlet.
Yeah, they had a chance
to these rules, I said, yeah, and they're not, they're fucked. They're bollocks. And I tell you what, so many clubs, like, and it won't be talked about now, but earmark this, I'm telling you, if Arsenal don't get Champions League this year, they're bollocks.
Yeah.
Well, look,
a lot of teams are playing that. They're rolling the dice. Can I just say one thing?
Yeah, you can. You can have the last word before we move.
Shawnee said something about FSG not wanting to win, and I slightly disagree with that. I think they do want to win, but I think they've won, and that's it for them. And it's the same with the Red Sox. The Red Sox hadn't won in 80 years. They won, and that was what they wanted. And now it's just a case of they don't want to be losing the money. They're happy to take the fourth, you know, second as opposed to fourth now.
But it becomes difficult to sell once a club,
they
won, Keith.
But they sell that club now, saying, look, we've turned this into
but who's buying it?
Club. Who's buying it?
Yeah, because exactly. The more successful you get and the rate and the level you're at, the amount of buyers dwindles massively.
Yeah,
you're genuinely looking at,
when you're looking at the 4
Jeff
billion
Bezos, is that his name?
Yeah.
You're looking at the other guy that's mental. What's his name?
Elon Musk.
Are you looking at a country? That's what you're looking at. Simple as that.
And if you're looking at a club like that, if that's that, Joe, when you're talking about the 3-4 billion mark,
you're only doing it to say you own them. Yeah. You're not doing it for any other reason.
In a funny way, us winning the league, I know we all wanted to win the league for 30 years, but in a funny way, us winning the league has probably gone against us a little bit, because whilst they don't want to win, like Keith said, by winning, it's kind of nearly bought them kind of a bit of time. Do you know what I mean? With us, the fans, there would have been a hell of a lot more pressure on them if we had been finishing third and second and third and second or second. There would have been more pressure on them to spend more money. But now the fact that we've actually got to the Holy Grail and we've won that, it kind of has bought them a year or two. And it's now that only we're kind of not pushing on or not kicking on and winning more that we're starting to ask questions about their spending or are they going to spend. So, yes, it was great that we won, but probably wasn't the best thing.
The next decision with regards to the Super League will be the key for FSG at Liverpool, in my opinion, because the Champions League is just a fucking watered down version of it, and they're not, and the shareholders in it, or the stakeholders, i.e. the clubs, still aren't getting enough. They've done a deal, but they still probably aren't getting enough compared to what they've been offering the Super League. And you know what? The next version of the Super League, where Florentino Perez is still talking about it, and if he's talking about it, you know he fucking means it. The next variation of that is probably what would be key in FSG. If they see a Super League come where they can get 400 million a year and then absolutely go for it, fine. But if they don't get it, I could see them cashing in their investment. But then it's all a case of now who comes in and where do you stand on it? And you will have Liverpool fans that go, you know what? We can't beat them, join them. And you'll have Liverpool fans that go, I'm not having it. It's just not for me, because, and I'm being honest, I'm on the side of, no, if you're going to go in and just make up stuff to throw as much money as you can in, it's not a game anymore. It's a game of Trivial Pursuit with fucking load of money in your pocket. But look, we're an hour and 40 minutes in, a little bit over that. We're only getting started, but we're running out of cans. If we had more cans, we would have stayed all night, to be honest. But look, it's been a brilliant show. I'd like to thank everyone in the chat. It's been amazing as usual, and most importantly, you've given your points and you've given them in an adult fucking way, because the childishness that went on yesterday, again, I'll say it, and I don't apologize for saying it, it won't be tolerated. This is adults talking about football, and you should be able to give your opinion, listen to an opinion, and move on. So I'm delighted that it has worked out that way tonight. Emma, anything else before we go?
No, all good. It didn't feel like an hour and 44, I have to say.
No, really, it felt like about 3 hours. I was getting grilled there with Shani for a fucking good half hour.
You deserved it.
I did deserve it. I love Shani. I love all the lessons. Go on, Emma. You're good.
No, all good.
Good stuff. Keith, anything else before we go?
No, all good. We got through a lot there. It was a nice little debate, a nice chat. And if people want to say that we're on the FSG payroll after this, I don't see where they're going to come from, because we've been accused of that before.
And, yeah, but we get accused of loads.
Interesting. Yeah, you know what I mean? Not calling them out. I think we've called out the owners, we've called out the players, we've called out the manager, we've called out everybody really tonight.
I think when it comes to these shows, you know, we just give our opinion, and some people like it, some people don't. Like me and Jono clash. Jono's in the chat there. I've never met the guy before, right? And we clash, we chat, we fucking discuss, you know, whatever it might be. He does it through text, I do it through voice. And you know what? When it's all over, he comes back the next day and so do I. Do you know what I mean? If me and Jono, who've never met, would fall out, he just wouldn't be in there and I'd be just going, I'm not doing a fucking show, that Jono fella's a prick. But we value what people say and we take it in and we throw it out on the screen and we talk about it. You know, and when this is all over, we'll all go and have a can and Shawnee had been blocking my number because I'm a ass about Ultimate Team, and then we just move on to the next day. Yeah. Shawnee, anything else before we go?
Look, I've just let a plug. Buy my new book, Intensity. It's installed now on audio book.
You're way better looking than me, brother.
The Shawnee Lawson audio book version.
But I'm a fucking Twitter bedwetter in for 20% off.
You do the audio on the audio book, Shawnee.
Jono says it's all good. Jono said it's all good. I take your points. But no, honestly, when the likes of Jono and loads of others, they bring all these chats forward and, you know, we get off this and Keith might say, oh, he made a great point or she made a great point. Shawnee do the same. Emma does the same. And you know something? That's what it's all about. You know, we come in here, we have a chat, we have a discussion and we put it out there for you to discuss. But as I said,
can I say just one thing?
Yeah.
And it's... The chat, fair play to yous. Yous are all in there mixing with debate and different opinions, and it's not getting nasty, you know. I like that. And I think that's something it's been kind of consistent within the Trippers. Look,
yeah.
I don't give a bollocks about FSG one way or another. I support Liverpool. If they sell the club tomorrow, I couldn't give a bollocks. But I do like what I do say is that when you do get into it in the chat, you're there the next day and you're chatting or whatever. Like, you can have a different opinion without hating someone or disliking them. It's okay to agree in today's society. It doesn't have to be so erratic and against. And you should probably be in the comments one around saying, Sean talks a lot of shit. You're fucking dead right. I talk a lot of shit.
You want to hear him off.
Like, look, I don't claim to know anything about football. I'm giving a platform to chat to the lads who happen to just be my mates. If I was sitting here and you were in the gaff me, I'd be saying the exact same things.
Yeah.
Just like, if this hasn't proved that, last year when people are saying, you should be enjoying it, you should have fucking enjoyed it. So when it does get good again, which it will, enjoy it. Don't be worrying about the fucking little things.
When it gets just good enjoy again, can we all go on the lash?
100%.
100%. 200%. But look, that has been the Fat Back for.
Just buy the book.
Buy the fucking book, right? Shawnee's book, Intensity. Pep Linders' ghost wrote it. But that has been the Fat Back Four. Listen. That's Shawnee been the Fat Back Four. That's been Shawnee. That's been Keith. That's been Emma. I've been Gav. The link is in the description for Bobby's Wish to Walk, right? Just go and give him... Give him money and we can get him over the line. We get him the 150 grand and it'd be the best Christmas present you've ever given to anyone, right? Instead of giving Lynx Africa sets and fucking, you know these pricks that come along and go, oh, I bought you a fucking golf tail with two golf balls that you're never going to put near the face of a golf club, right? Just give the money to Bobby. We get him over the 150 grand and that'd be great. Hit the like button on the way out because we've been told to tell you that again. Subscribe, because there's not a lot of people listening to this show where we talk bullshit, but we do it in a nice, orderly manner most of the time, and all that sort of stuff. That has been the Fat Back Four. Thanks a million for watching. Tomorrow is Winners and Losers. Tuesday is Full Time Reds. Wednesday is Midweek Fix. Thursday is the Viewer's Voice. Friday is the Premier League forecast. Nothing on Saturday. Sunday will be two shows Sunday, will there be? Arsenal away. Yeah, we do a full-time Reds and we do a Fatback 4 as well. Talk to you in a bit. Over now. Sports Social Podcast Network.